Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your holy word. And we pray that today you will give us a fresh vision of your Son, Jesus Christ, that he may be honored and gloried in this service and in our lives. And in his name we pray. Amen. Jesus sometimes said the most unusual things. For example, in John's Gospel, he was challenging those who didn't believe him. And he said this, he said, "If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." Jesus was saying that Moses was writing about Christ. And with that in mind, we come to the Exodus passage that we read, which might seem slightly unpromising theme for a sermon, the list of the clothing that the high priest wore. And yet, if we believe that this is teaching about Christ, and I'm sure it is, we will be greatly enriched from this passage. If you look at verse 29, it talks about Aaron, the high priest, going into the holy place. What is the setting of this? The setting is the tabernacle. This was a portable site for worship that was set up according to God's directions when the people of Israel were in the wilderness, and it served as the focus of their worship life until Solomon's temple was built many years later. Let's look at a number of features of this worship. What was this tabernacle like? It was a tent, and that tent was set within a courtyard. You would enter the courtyard from the eastern side, this way as you look at it, from the eastern side. And you'd see there, the first thing you'd see would be a bronze altar, the altar of burnt offering. And then you'd see a bronze basin for the priests to wash their hands and their feet. And beyond that, in the courtyard, still going westwards, you come to the tent or the tabernacle itself, a portable tent of meeting. And this had two compartments. There was the holy place and the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And these were separated by a blue-colored curtain or veil. The holy place, the priests could enter, but the most holy place, designated as the place of God's presence, only one person could enter, and he could do so only once a year. And that was the high priest, could go into the most holy place, but once a year. And he brought with him sacrificial blood on that occasion, on that day of atonement. So trace the progress of the high priest as he enters the tabernacle. There are a number of items or artifacts or items of furniture there in the holy place. To his left, there would be a golden candlestick and a table with special showbread to his right. And straight ahead of him, there's an altar of incense. And beyond that, there was a blue curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, where only the high priest could go once a year. And in that most holy place, there was the Ark of the Covenant, a wooden box covered with gold. In it originally was kept the law written on stone that had been given to Moses, a pot of the manna that they had been feeding on in the wilderness, and Aaron's rod, which had performed miraculous works. And there was a lid of that box known as the mercy seat. And the end of each was a figure of a cherub, and between the figures a fire, often called the Shekinah fire, token of the presence of God. So this place would appropriately be called the throne of God. Our passage today talks about the priest's garments, and it lists quite a lot of them. I'm not going to go into them all in detail. You can find it in a good Bible dictionary or encyclopedia. And if I had the benefit of PowerPoint, I might be able to be more illustrative. But the priest would have a breast piece, an ephod, a robe, a coat of checker work, a turban, a sash, and then onyx stones, valuable stones. And on those were listed the names of the 12 tribes of Israel in order of their birth. And then the other thing he had was called the Urim and Thummim. That one I'm not going to tell you what it is because nobody knows. But it was something that was used by the high priest to obtain guidance from God. If you sought guidance, the Urim and Thummim. If anyone has an authoritative thing, what they mean, I look on them as being more like dice, is a picture that I have, but we just don't know what they were. We know what they were used for, but not exactly what they were. I don't want to go into all the details of the vestments and the garments that the high priest wore. They did the colorings in the scheme did actually tally with that of the fabric of the tabernacle. But I would just draw attention to the onyx stones on which were carved the names of 12 tribes. What rich symbolism there is there. The high priest goes into the very presence of God, bearing the individual names of the tribes, the names of God's people. And this is surely a symbolic of God's love and God's care and God's knowledge of his people. The names of his people are important to him, and we'll refer to that later. But how does this all relate to us? This strange worship with strange clothing, strange ceremonies, thousands of years later. Well, how can we apply all this information? And the broad general question is, how do we apply the books of Moses to us today in general? There are really three types of law in the books of Moses. And they happen to be alliterative, the commandment law, civil law, and ceremonial law. The commandment law, we have the Ten Commandments, which stand for all time as God's requirements for us. We are commanded to keep these in their entirety. There's a lot of civil law there, which was designed in the first instance for nomadic people, but it gives the principles of justice, purity, and orderliness, even though we don't follow the detailed laws and the punishments for various things. But it gives us the principle of an ordered, stable government. Anarchy is never sanctioned in Scripture. It's just a sideline. But then you have the ceremonial law, of which we have a part tonight. How do we follow that? Should I be dressed like a priest? And should Paul be dressed like the high priest? What is the meaning of this? Let's come back to the basic point that we put at the beginning. Moses was writing about Christ. The ceremonial law that's given in the books of Moses is what we could describe as being typical. It is descriptive of the of what is to come. It is prophetic. It is descriptive. And you get many different types in the Old Testament which prefigure Jesus Christ, some either his person or his work. It may be a material artifact. It may be an event. Many of the Old Testament heroes were types of Christ, very imperfect as they were, but they were shadows or foretellings of Christ. And these proclaiming to us spiritual truth. And then how do we interpret types? And the answer is very carefully, because there's a danger sometimes of getting very fanciful or allegorical interpretations. And if you're looking at the Old Testament and you think that's a type of Christ, you try to see if there is New Testament sanction for this, or the teaching of Christ. If that happens, you're on sure ground. So this passage in Exodus contains types or representations of Christ. The high priest is a type of Christ. We have the book of Hebrews for evidence. We have the letter of Hebrews tells us we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So in Exodus, it's the high priest passing through the holy place into the most holy place. This talks about Jesus, the high priest. He did that passing through the heavens. And that is the links with today's sermon with the doctrine of the ascension of Jesus Christ, who ascended to heaven. He passed through the heavens. The tabernacle also is a type about Christ's work. Again, we turn to the letter of Hebrews, which says, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, he entered once for all into the holy places. So this heaven has been described as a tent, and the tabernacle that they had in the wilderness was a type or a representation of that, imperfect as it was. So the priest and the tabernacle speak of Christ and of his provision for us as confirmed in the Old Testament. So let's go back then to the tabernacle and the artifacts that were in it. You'd enter the courtyard, an altar of burnt offering, an altar, a place of sacrifice. This is a type or a shadow, if you like, of Christ's sacrifice. Here at this altar, the sinning Israelite, not wishing to pay the penalty for sin, brought a substitute to die in his place, portraying the cross of Christ, where Christ died in our stead. So we have there an altar which talks about Christ, our substitute. There's a bronze basin for cleansing, Christ, our cleanser and regenerator. We have a candlestick, but we have Christ, the light of the world. The table of showbread, we've got Christ, the bread of life. The altar of incense tells us about Christ, our intercessor. As the smoke rises, so Christ's intercession for us goes to the Heavenly Father. And in the mercy seat, Christ, our propitiation. So this tabernacle imagery is very rich in its portrayal in type form of Christ. So what is the meaning for us today? In corporate worship, we must focus on Christ, not on material objects, water, lights, incense. These are imperfect shadows or types of what was to come, the perfect Christ. So we don't go back from the perfect to the imperfect, a retrograde step. We have got Christ, who is all in all, everything for us. And in our service, we don't focus on material objects. In our sacrament, we will be having bread and wine, which is exactly what Jesus commanded. We obey his example and follow his command. But we must be careful not to regress into worship with material things and be dependent on material things. We have the heavenly things. We have got Christ, who is everything to us. And in our service, we should be focusing on him and not material objects. And as we receive bread and wine according to his command, we're focusing on the Savior who died for us. And as we remember today, just after Ascension Day, that Christ is bodily in heaven. He's not bodily in the bread that we share at the Lord's table. He's bodily in heaven. We have the real presence of Christ spiritually. He is with us. He is everywhere. He's with us when we worship him when two or three are gathered together. And I believe he is with us spiritually in a very special sense when we commemorate his atoning sacrifice. I believe he gives his real spiritual grace to us in the sacrament. But we don't believe in his bodily presence. We believe in his real presence, his real spiritual presence with us. And it's in him that we focus and glorify. And what does it mean for us in our private walk with God? What does that signify for us? The first point is that there is a man in heaven. He's gone before us. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He is in heaven. He's opened the way for us. He represents us to God the Father. He has entered the most holy place. He had the presentation of blood. This was his own blood. Because he was not only the priest for the sacrifice for our sins, but he was the victim. And he understands our human predicament. He knows about our suffering and our temptations. He knows it all. Hebrews tells us we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows our every detail. We're tempted, he knows, because he was tempted, yet without sin. And he is there representing us to God and representing us personally. I think that's the significance, as I mentioned before, of the names of the 12 tribes being on the onyx stones. That God remembers us personally. And he's also preparing for us a permanent, heavenly and permanent home. And he's also promised, if he went, to send the Holy Spirit. And next Sunday we will be rejoicing at that. And he's going to appear sometime to set up his permanent kingdom. Christ is our all in all. What else do we need? Who else do we need? Let's worship him. And let's do so as we come to the sacrament, trusting in him for his mercy and his love and his grace poured out on us as we come humbly and unworthily to the Lord's table to receive the bread and wine as he asked us to do. Christ is our all in all. He is everything to us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may honor your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may commit ourselves to him, that we may accept him, follow him, trust him, and that we may not let the material objects of this world distract us from our worship of him. We thank and praise you, O Father, for the bountiful provision of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.